That's the spirit.
With Professor Peter Lynam, are you there, mate?
I am here, yes.
What's going on? We're dipping our toes in the holy water.
We do. You see, we're all in need of some magic cure. And I have found various suggestions online. In fact, somebody allegedly from China sent me this extraordinary proposal that somehow vitamin C was the ultimate antidote. Apparently in Wuhan, strange, we haven't been told this from any other sources, but they've found that lemon juice is the perfect solution.
Well, to get you up to sort of, you know, to get the immunity up, probably it's good. But
I
have heard that hero doses of vitamin C, like epic doses, have done good things for cancer, but I haven't really looked into the research.
Yes, and all of that is, I'm afraid, in the old wives' tale category.
Okay.
But holy water. Well, you might have thought this would be quite an appealing solution, but the Catholic Church in New Zealand on Friday made a decision, probably following on sort of patterns that have gone on other places, that all holy water is no longer available. Just the banning of the wine, which we've talked about in a previous broadcast, but for many Catholics, you dip your finger in the holy water and make the sign of the cross as you enter the church.
Right.
And for some other conservative members of other churches might well follow that practice as well. And the holy water is a vast, long Latin prayer that is supposed to be said over the holy water when it's sanctified. And typically what's out in the what looks like a seashell at the door of many Catholic churches,
right,
is taken from a source of blessed water, which they then pour out more water there in the beginning of the day. Now, you can see how dangerous this would be, because with every finger going into it...
Oh, man.
It just gets...
Does it get less holy as well?
Well...
When, like, if common people holy, touching it too much?
Because holiness ought to, in fact, be a strong antidote to unholiness.
Can I... Just a quick question on holy water. Could someone have maybe stored up a bit of holy water and then they'll sell it on eBay at this kind of thing?
Sorry, explain.
Can you, like, could someone have, like, a sort of just a bucket of holy water that got blessed by a mate who happens to be
connected? Yes. Yes, in fact, the search for holy water is sometimes... There are stories about holy water being stolen.
Mm.
In the Greek Orthodox world, where holy water is used quite extraordinarily in congregations in ways not typical in the West.
Holy water, Batman kind of thing.
Yeah, so you see, holy water will often be splashed around for specific reconsecration vows. So on Easter Day, in many Anglican and Catholic churches, holy water, people will be what they call aspurged, and that means that using a sort of brush type wood dipped into the holy water, it will then be sprayed or shaken over the congregation, many of whom are not that enthusiastic about this, of course.
What if I use the holy water in my baking or something? Is that...
Yes, well, you see, some have believed that this holy water, because it's specially best, does have extra powers. Unfortunately, analysis of this holy water, somebody, a rather mean-minded person, I think, in Italy last century, decided to test out holy water, because these are often in really old tanks that have been there for centuries.
Kind of a little bit rank holy water.
You can imagine the result, yes.
That's when the holy water is just straight Satan water at that point.
Yes, and
it's gone bad.
You can imagine that every kind of virus just lives in the still water.
Right, yeah. Stagnant water is terrible.
Yes, precisely. And so that's a serious problem. Holy water, incidentally, can't just be, you know, used to do the dishes with. There are some pretty strict rules about the use of holy water.
Okay.
And I am told that both holy water, and I think the surplus wine, the priests are supposed to drink it, but if they can't drink it all.
I'm sure they can figure it out.
There's supposed to be a drain in Catholic churches that goes directly down to the good earth.
A hole in the ground.
And so that enables it to be not mixed with other contaminated sources. Hey. And to be freed in that way.
Right, right. And till it's off premises, then it just returns to the clouds to be just yes. everyone's water once again. Hey, I'm just wondering, how much water can be blessed at a time to make holy water?
Very, very large amounts.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean,
why doesn't someone just bless the whole ocean? We just get it. Like if we get a bunch of priests on it, you know?
Yes, I think the problem would be it mightn't be good for the fish.
Okay,
but I think that you see the primary use of the holy water is for use in baptisms, christening.
Right.
And so there, that water is poured out. And so in a Protestant church, there might be a prayer over the water before the person is baptized in the water, especially babies. I'm afraid Baptists and Pentecostals couldn't much care less about the water. It's just ordinary old tap water.
Right.
And
do some people get to church and you know how you like at a restaurant and someone's like, would you like sparkling? And you're like, no, I'll just have tap. Some people are like, look, I'll just have tap water.
Sparkling water, I'm afraid, is not available for okay. holy water. Okay. It has to be foul, old, still water. That's the only sort that could make it. Because you see, that would have sparkling water has minerals in it.
Right.
And part of the motif of holy water is the purity of water. So they're drawing on the imagery of purity.
Mm.
Now, incidentally, of course, it's not just Christianity that has had concepts of holy water. Because if you think back to traditional, say, Hinduism,
right,
bathing in the Ganges, which might once have been bathing in pure and clean water, although not particularly these days.
It still holds that precedent with the locals, though. You know, it still has that majesty
right.
and
so
that
So that
mana.
There is yeah. the notion. Yeah. So water is seen as a cleansing agent, as a purifying agent.
Yes.
And it's a powerful set of symbolism, which sometimes doesn't exactly equate with the reality of the water.
Right.
And so, in other traditions as well, I hadn't realized that actually holy water is quite significant in Buddhism. Also, as a symbol of cleansing.
Okay.
There are some also ways in which water can be used as a kind of take this water. Well, think of the ways in which water rites were used in torture. By Americans in various of those the Iraqi wars and the right. like, and you'll know that. Kind of water can be clean and yet can be used for cruel purposes as well.
Is it holy water that the vampires don't like, or is it normal?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's the opposition between the holy water is said to have the power to evict evil.
Vanquish.
And therefore the vampire will dissolve.
Okay. Hey, speaking of vampires, I actually just kind of want... Sorry to spring this on you, but this popped up in my feed just the other day, and it's a dude called Kenneth Copeland. He's just trying to save everyone through the TV. I just thought I'd play it for a second.
Which is wonderful of him, yes. And?
Hang on.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord
He's
Jesus.
Got his hand up against the TV right now. It's kind of wet. It looks like he's got holy water on his hand.
He receive your healing.
Yes.
And so what's he promising?
He's just trying to secure everyone of coronavirus.
Say it,
I take it.
I have it. It's mine.
Well,
it might work through the radio is what I'm thinking. I don't know how powerful this shit is.
And I forgive if I have aught against anyone.
I mean, it is interesting that Brian Tumlin...
I'm stopping him.
...earlier in the week did promise that, no powers of evil could fall over the blessed people of God.
Hey, forgive me if I don't trust a word that Brian Tumlin says, by the way.
Yes, But this morning, I think, he revised that to say, but you should keep all precautions. So that seemed to be to revise his views a bit. Yeah.
Interesting times where this sort of stuff overlaps quite heavily in what we're going through, you know?
This is a bit like the apocalypse, isn't it?
Because
we're living in times where normal conduct and behavior doesn't apply. And suddenly we find that the rules and the shape of the world are so flexible and fluid that we're almost thrown completely in our sense of bearings. And I mean, to me, looking on it religiously, that's just so intriguing.
Mm. Right on. Hey, Peter, it's always a pleasure.
It's nice to talk to you.
We'll catch you next Monday, of course.
Excellent.
Cheers, mate.